Well, hello and welcome once again to another Battle Site for Christ radio broadcast right here on the Just Jesus Network. Oh, what a joy it is to come into your home every week and to tell you what God has laid on my heart. Oh, yeah. Oh, it just excites me to no end. You know, if you're already saved and you're listening to this message, I think you will understand what I mean when I speak about a joy for the Lord, right? Of course you will. Let's say a short prayer, and then we'll get into the Word, okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this another opportunity you've given me to bring forth your Word, Lord, in a way that you had me to prepare. I pray, Lord, that the hearts that receive this word, Lord, will understand what is being said. And if they don't already know Thee and Jesus as their Savior, that by the time they're finished hearing this message, they'll have a desire to do so. That's the goal I have. That's what You placed in my heart, Lord. So please, God, give me wisdom. And let's get into the Word now in Jesus' name. His wonderful name, I pray. Amen. Amen. You know, in the book of Amos, we read, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, the title I've given my message is The Facebook of God. The Facebook of God. You know, from time to time on Facebook, when I'm just sort of perusing my page, I see things, lots of things that are not only alarming, but also somewhat offensive. I think you know what I mean, because we all have the same experience. It doesn't matter if it be Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or whatever it may be, whatever site, yes. You're going to run into situations where you say, oh, no, I don't agree with that. Oh, no, that's wrong. Or, hey, well, it's about time somebody got it right. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you've been there, right? Haven't you? For many years, I wanted nothing to do with these beleaguered, you might say, places where you could go and hear what people's opinions were about certain things. But when it came to the things of God, well, you know, that's when you really have to get into God's Word, yeah. Because you want to make sure that your rebuttal, if you want to call it that, has to be in line with the Word of God, okay? I considered it plain and simple. Most of these sites are just simple old gossip columns. That's all they are. I always wanted to tell my wife, I don't want to know what it says. I don't want to hear about it. Or she might say to me, you know, what are you reading there? Oh, I don't want to hear it. You know, it goes, works both ways, doesn't it? My dear wife, she's such a great companion for me. She sets me straight sometimes when I'm going a little bit too far in the wrong direction, if you get what I mean. Now, I already had my website, and I was working on promoting that. Then I went to Twitter to drum up some more business. You know what I'm saying, eh? Some more business for my site, for my information, for my talk with the Lord, for my prayer life. To me, that was a step, well, a step too far. A leap in the dark, one might say. And then, well, after a series of prayers, God began to lay in my heart and on my heart the very thing I wanted to stay away from. Now, hang in there. You know, no, God's not leading me astray. No way. You know, the Bible tells us to come out from among them and be ye separate. And touch not the unclean thing. Right? But the Lord God spoke to my heart in a very special way. Not that I'm special in any way, but He spoke to my heart. And what He indicated through the Holy Spirit was, yes, you are to come out from among them. And yes, and be separate. but not before you give them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they reject my son. And that's the only time you back off, is when they reject what happened at Calvary. Maybe when things cool down, you could go back later on, but when you run into this situation where they just start blaspheming your Savior, back away, back away. God knows. God knows. Yes, He does. Wow, I thought. I never looked at it that way, because it was always my desire just to plunge ahead, or surge ahead, rather, and just get the job done. You know, tell them about the cross. Tell them about Jesus. And isn't this why we hand out tracts and knock on doors and witness to our neighbors and so forth? Oh, yeah. You know, back in the old days, even before my time, folks walked for miles, miles they did, to attend a simple little church. Oh, yeah. And visited neighbors and paid attention to people passing through. It wasn't to be nosy, no, but to spread the good news of the gospel. Everyone you pass on the street, you know, you have to look at them like, I wonder if they know the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't shy away from it. You know, give yourself that opportunity. If you can, talk to them. If you can, hand them out a tract. If they continue to listen, then go a little bit deeper and a little bit further. Oh, yes. Now I'm not saying you that you go into nightclubs and stuff like that and bars and share of their sin in order to reach them for Christ. You know, some people look at it that way. Well, if I sit down and have a bottle of beer with Joe, what's his name over there, then, well, you know, he'll listen to what I tell him about Jesus Christ, you know. But you know something? You're using the wrong tactics, the wrong technique. God's not pleased with that, you know. Because chances are, if somebody's drinking an alcoholic beverage, they're not going to understand half of what you're saying anyway. And when they sober up, they're just not going to remember any of it, except that you were a real pest and he's going to avoid you like the plague. That's exactly what's going to happen. You see, folks, sometimes we can misunderstand what the Lord means. Yes, we can. Even being solid Christians, we can misunderstand. That's why we have to study the Scriptures. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Which is exactly, well, what most of us do, I'm afraid. Sometimes those who are not Christians will try to tell you what they think about God and about Jesus and about the cross, which is usually contrary to what God means. You know, this is very evident when judging comes into the picture, you know. Judging. Nobody likes a judge, right? Worse yet, nobody likes to be judged, whether it be by a judge or anybody else. But when you know somebody is not a Christian or is not walking as a Christian should, then it's our responsibility who do now, to judge righteous judgment. To check it out, if you will. You know, to find out for sure, I think that person's a Christian, you might think in your mind. So you quote a little scripture while you're close by or in a conversation. See what kind of feedback you get, if any. I'm not saying you just gangbusters your way into the situation and say, now listen up here, you're going to hell if you don't. When you start saying right off the top, you're going to hell if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you know what you're doing? You're scaring them away. You're scaring them away. So, go in tactfully. I remember that. We had to do that when I was in the army. Go out tactfully after the enemy. Always be tactful. Careful how you do it. Okay? You'll reap more fruit that way. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking who he may devour." And you can count on that. Oh, yes, you can. Because he does. You know, God's word doesn't lie. Doesn't lie at all. I want to tell you, that same roaring lion, that same roaring lion I just mentioned, prances proudly up and down every Facebook page, every LinkedIn page, you name it. And not only on the pages, but also on the streets, and just about everywhere you could go. That same roaring lion. Well, he's just smacking his gums and licking his lips. Can you picture it? Why? Why? Because he has a very deep interest in what you're doing about the things of God. He doesn't want you going and posting on Facebook that Jesus Christ is Lord. He doesn't want you to go on Twitter and say that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. No. So he tries to foul you up. Sometimes it gets in your head and you forget to send the message, or the message is returned. Oh, there are all sorts of stumbling blocks there that the devil can put in your way. You see, these sites like LinkedIn and Facebook and what have you, they're not, you know, let's be fair about it, huh? I mean, they're not godly sites, not in the least. No, gossipy is more like it. More like gossipy. They may kick me off Facebook if they hear this message. Well, that's fine with me. That's fine with me. I perused it quite a bit, and I've sent out quite a bit of information through it. Oh, yes, I have. You know, I thought about David and Uriah, but with a twist. With a twist, you know. Doesn't God want us in the fray of battle, like David and Uriah were, doesn't he? Doesn't he want us on the front lines, as it were? Like our dear brothers and sisters who have been serving around the world, you know, in Iran and Syria and even in Jerusalem, you know, trying to convict them that there is no God but their God, which is not the God of the Bible. You get my message, eh? Of course you do. Now, look at their sacrifices. Look, where death waits at every turn. Death waits. I mean death upon death, you know. The end. The termination. How dare we hesitate to cross a floor of a hotel lobby, I ask you, and place a tract in the hand of a bellboy? Huh? Do you worry about something like that? Do you shy away from it? Would you walk across a crowded room just because you saw somebody sitting somewhere at a bar stool or something, just to place a track before them? Huh? Think about it. Before I became a born-again Christian, I can't remember one person, not one, ever coming to me and giving me the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'd hear all kinds of threats, you know. You're going to hell in a handbasket, you know. You don't believe that there is a God, don't you? Things like that, you know. They never bothered me because I didn't care. You know why? Because I was a Catholic. I was a Catholic, and I didn't have to care. All I had to do was believe in Catholicism. That's all. I wouldn't let them get close to me, you see. I was too steeped in Catholicism to listen to these fanatics walking around the streets passing out little pamphlets filled with lies called tracts. Oh, I was a Catholic, and I wasn't allowed to read the Bible, the precious and holy word of Almighty God. Listen. If you don't read the Word of God for yourself, you know what? You're bound to believe that these religious people attired in fine apparel know what they're talking about when they say there is no God, you know. Follow me, I got a good job for you. Blah, blah, blah. Why am I on Facebook? Why am I on Twitter? Why am I on LinkedIn? And so forth and so on. Because that's where sinners like to gather. Now, I'm not saying that everybody that's on Facebook is a sinner, that they're unforgiven, that they haven't received Christ. I'm not saying that at all. But the bulk of them are there. And the ones that want to destroy what you already believe in, they're there. They're waiting like henchmen. And their task is to get you guessing that maybe, just maybe, what you believe is wrong. About Calvary, I'm talking. Huh? I don't think I'm alone in thinking like this at all. I opened a page in the name of the Lord. I sought out friends of like precious faith. Then I opened it to the public. The name of the Lord was exalted. Yes, it was. We became armed. We and these people that believed the same way that God was the end of self, that Jesus did what he did at Calvary for all of us. The name of the Lord was lifted up. We became armed with the word of God, you might say. Then we let the world know where we stood. Oh, brave we were. The Bible was used. We used it diligently. The God we believed in and the word that was holy and preserved was presented and given out. It became like a mission field. And you've probably heard that mentioned before. We do have a mission field as believers in Christ. We do. I knew what the Lord God wanted me to do. That's for sure. If I was to be a witness for Christ, well, then I would have to venture into the public domain. I mean, full force, all the way, which is what I did and what I shall continue to do. How else can one so openly converse with the unsaved except to completely open the lines of communication to a lost and dying world? Huh? Wow. I had prayed about it. Oh yes, I prayed and prayed and prayed about it. The Lord had shown me what to do. He said, go into their land. That means where they are. Doesn't mean another country. Go into where they are. And I'm not talking about going into a bar room. But go where they are, where you can catch them alone, separate from their crowds. Give the words from my holy book, he said to me, so they may decide. You don't decide for them. You just give them the word. It's up to them to believe or not believe. All who come to me, he said, the Lord I'm talking about, I will in no wise cast out. Do not be afraid. I will be with you. You know, Facebook gives us the option of keeping our page closed to the public and also open only to friends or close friends. It does. So that's a step up, don't you think? Sure. Right at the outset, I knew what the Lord wanted me to do. I'm not speaking for everybody out there who even believes more so than I do, if that's possible. But what I am saying is that we have to trust in God. He's the one that gives us direction. He's the one who answers our prayer. And don't say, well, he doesn't answer mine all the time. Well, that was an answer to prayer. He just didn't answer it. He's letting you go on a little bit further, and then he will answer it down the road. I've seen that happen to me many times. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, Lord. You know, I haven't been too well lately, and I kept saying to the Lord every day, Lord, just before I got out of bed, I say, Lord, lift me up from this bed to good health and strength, Lord. And you know what? I might get up and stagger around the room for a little bit, go out and have breakfast, and start feeling kind of poor, you know, like poorly, I mean. And I'll say to God, God, I pray every day that you take this terrible thing from me that makes me so weak, Lord, and dizzy in my thoughts sometimes. You know what? The Lord doesn't send me a message and say, well, just hang in there, Tom, and I'll fix you up. Oh, I haven't forgotten you. I'll fix you up. No, he doesn't do that. You know what he does? He lets me carry on and carry on with his word, not cutting him short, not cutting him off at all, but to carry on, to believe in my heart that God did hear my prayer, and that God will answer in his way, in his time. And that's the way I've been living my life lately. In his way and in his time. And I ain't saying, no, God's not going to help me. I talk to my dear wife and I say, I don't know why God doesn't answer my prayer. I pray it every day. And then the Lord talks to my heart and he says, I will answer your prayer. But not in your time. But in my time. But in my time. If I was a witness for Christ, I would have to venture into the public domain, like I said, which is what I did and I still do today. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I prayed, and I know God hears my prayers. But I have to wait upon Him. I have to be patient because He answers prayer in His time. He knows more what He's doing than I know what I'm doing. People of like precious faith came to my aid and supported me with the power of their faith. Hang in there, brother. Hang in there, brother. The Lord's going to fix you up. Don't you worry. The Lord knows all about it. And He does. You know, it's been a joyful journey giving the Word of God to whomever. Many have seen the error of their ways. Yes, they have. And they've made a decision to know more about our Savior. Well, others, well, they've had a look and see and then kind of faded back into the background. Nonetheless, God's Word is going forth into a jungle committed to sin to provide an escape route for those who would care to believe in the gospel. In the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. There is an enemy in our midst. You want to believe that? Job 1, in the book of Job, in verse 6, we read, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came along with them, among them, rather. The sons of God here are angels. That's what he's talking about, angels. We know that Satan can't be everywhere. He's not omniscient like God. But he has a third of his demonic angels to do his dirty work. Did you know that? You know, they can creep into your head too, you know. And they can say, having a good time, hey, well, drink up, boy. Get that elbow up high and just enjoy the lust of your being. Oh, yes. Oh, how terrible it is to know that Satan has such freedom that he can go to people who are weak in their minds and in their hearts and destroy them, so utterly destroy them. Wow. In Matthew 4, verse 10, we read, then Jesus said unto him, unto Satan, after he had taken him up to a high mountain, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Wow! Yeah, I guess he got his comeuppance there, didn't he? He sure did. You can be sure that Satan, as he was in the Garden of Eden, was trying desperately to confuse even the Lord Jesus. Wow. Bah, ha, ha, bah, humbug, you might say. No way you're going to confuse Jesus. No way at all. I ask you, is Satan walking about seeking whom he may devour? Is he in your life? Is he walking about in your town, in your church, in your neighborhood? Is he? Now, I know Satan cannot enter in where the Holy Spirit is. No, he can't. In Luke 22, we read, "And then entered Satan into Judas, named Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. What does this tell us about Judas? That he wasn't saved at that time, right? Right? The Holy Spirit cannot and will not occupy the house of Satan. Nor can Satan occupy the house of Jesus Christ. No. Inside your vacuum cleaner, listen carefully, inside your vacuum cleaner is an apparatus for catching dirt. It's commonly referred to as a dirt bag. A dirt bag. That's what I was before I got saved. A dirt bag. In 1 Peter 5:8, there's another kind of dirt bag. Listen carefully. Only this one doesn't gather dirt. Instead, it spreads the dirt wherever it goes. It spreads it about. I guess that's where they got the name Dirt Devil. Huh? But his real name is Satan. Satan. Yes, there is an enemy in our midst. Are you prepared to meet him head on? Well, maybe not. But that's why Christ went to the cross. To meet him head on for us. To defeat the devil in all his ways. To give you a reprieve from the sin you've already brought upon yourself. He took our sin upon him and destroyed it on the cross. And gave us that everlasting hope of heaven's glory. How is it with you? I pray that you have a desire to check out your salvation, to be sure. Don't just think you're saved. Don't just, I believe I'm saved. Don't wander about at all. Be sure. Repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. It's as simple as that. And then go on living each day for the Lord. Talk to him. Ask him for direction. Ask him for the words that you must speak. Be faithful, and he'll be faithful to you. Now, this is part one of a message that I prepared, and next week I'm going to conclude with a part two of the same message. Okay? The Facebook of God. I pray that you will tune in next week and hear the remainder of the message. And in the meantime, I pray that you work diligently to bring others into the presence of Almighty God through the work that was done at Calvary. May God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.